sing that again to him. Say Elala and Elala. Oh, Elohim, how we long to worship you. Elala, Elohim. Satan come to bring us down, but with your spear, oh, before us in righteousness, we will rise and sing, oh, Elala, Elohim, Lord, how we long. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Oh, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, he reigns forevermore. And blessed be the Lord, oh God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Oh, peace like a river, and love like a mountain. Your spirit, they are blowing everywhere, and joy like, oh, fountain, healing streams of life, oh, come, Holy Spirit. Your fire, come Holy Spirit, say come Holy Spirit, let your fire, peace like a river, oh peace like a river, and love mountain, the winds of your spirit.
Time we can come together and amen worship the one true living God. I want to remember to pray tonight for Sister Loretta. She's having knee surgery in about a week, and ask that we'd remember her. She also hasn't been feeling well recently, so remember her in prayer tonight. Also, Brother Josh and Sister Alex sent an update for baby Charlie that said she's doing well. She's slowly gaining weight. She's currently at 4 pounds and 4 ounces. She still has a feeding tube, but has been starting to eat on her own as well. So able to hold her temperature. A lot of good signs there. So they want to thank the church for prayers, ask that you continue to pray. And they thank us for all of our love and support as well. So continue to remember that need in prayer. If you have a need tonight, we'll ask Brother Joe to open the service for us. But amen. Just before he comes, let's just sing that song, Only Believe. Amen. Do you believe that all things are possible tonight? Hallelujah. Well, why don't we just say, Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Just lift your knee to Him. Tell Him, Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord. And all things are possible.
Oh Lord, I believe and only believe. Yes, only believe. Oh, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe. And all things are possible.
Amen. You got a need this evening? We just take that need to the Lord. Brother Kenny, good to have you in the house of the Lord with us this evening. Brother Caleb, welcome home. Glad to have you back with us. Let's just take these needs and your needs to him this evening in prayer. Father, what a great privilege we had to assemble ourselves in your presence, Lord. Father, we know that there's stresses outside these doors, Lord, pressures of life, difficulties that we face in the environment. But Lord, for a few hours this evening, a few minutes, Lord, a sanctuary, Lord, a place dedicated, consecrated to your service. Lord, a refuge we can run to. Lord, not just these walls, but your presence, Lord. And we come running tonight, Father, as an oasis in a weary land. Lord, ask it to be refreshed by your spirit, Lord. God, to be rejuvenated by your word tonight, to may you come and just, Lord, charge us with the words of life, Lord. Lift up our faith to believe for the impossible, Father, and Lord, to believe for our brothers and sisters as well who are going through struggles and trials. And Lord, you see Sister Loretta and the need in her body and her life. We pray that you'd just go to her tonight and minister to that need. And little baby Charlie tonight, Father, may you just go into that hospital room, Lord, and continue to, Lord, just move on her behalf. And Lord, give her strength, Father, and add to her the weight that she needs, Lord, the physical strength, Lord, that she needs to be able to go home, Lord, and be loved by her mother and father and the family and by the church families, Lord. So we pray that you'll continue to comfort them during this time. And little Charlie, Lord, build her up, Father, and Lord, strengthen her. She'll be a testimony to your goodness and mercy, Father. And Lord, you saw every hand that was lifted to you tonight, and Lord, more importantly, you know every need represented by that hand, and we just invite you to come, Lord, tonight and minister to that need, minister to that heart, Lord, and build us up in the faith tonight. Lord, you see Brother Aaron, Lord, he set aside time to study and to pray and to seek the leadership of the Lord for tonight's service. Lord, I invite you, just allow him to step aside, and may you come and be the voice behind the voice tonight. And speak through that vessel that you've anointed to preach to us tonight, Father. And Lord, may we be, Lord, receivers of the word, and we do our part to step aside as well. Look past the veil, Lord, and receive that which the Spirit has said. So, Father, we commit this service to you now. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, the elders and angels bow, the redeemed worship you now. Oh, holy, holy, holy are.
Amen. Let's just sing that to him again as the brothers take up the offering. Just tell him, Lord, you're holy, 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 holy are. You, Lord.
elders and angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, the elders and angels bow. The redeemed worship you now. We say,
atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame. Healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the skies, change will fall, mountains move, we lift it high, speak the name above all other names, speak the name. Is a shame. Miracles are floating at the mention of the name. All darkness is fleeing, and mercy raining down. Healing waters flowing as our lips make the sound. Oh, raise it.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Actually, let's go to the key of C. Amen. Amen. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you just say, Jesus, I love you. Amen. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every life. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. I'm here to declare that there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Oh, can you say, break every stronghold, break every stronghold. Oh, shine through the shadows, your light. Sing it again, your name is power. Oh, your name is power, your name. Oh, hallelujah, your name. Yes, it's life. Oh, break every strong. Shine through the shadows. Amen. Let's all stand together. Oh, like a fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Oh, over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by. Oh, I speak Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing.
Your
shine through the shadows, burn light, oh, like a fire. Say, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over.
Could
you shout Jesus for your family tonight?
Jesus for my
family. Say, I'm going to speak his name.
I speak the holy name.
Oh, Jesus. Say, shout Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Oh, Jesus in the stream. And Jesus in the darkness. Over every
enemy.
I'll say Jesus for my family. I'll speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Oh, it's life. Break every stronghold. Shout through. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over it. know there is peace within your presence. I speak, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. How many would like to just speak Jesus tonight? Lord, over your situation, over your life, over your home. When nothing else can fix it, when nothing else can help, speak Jesus. Amen. Let's speak to him right now, Father. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, how appreciative we are, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Lord, not only promised, but now in this moment even felt, Lord, recognizing, Lord, that you're here amongst us. We just want to humble ourselves now, Lord. Lord, to step out of the way and just allow you to speak, Father. Allow you to encourage, Lord. Allow you to say what it is you would like to say, Lord. You see the time and effort, Lord, but it'll all be in vain, Lord, if you don't come and take control of it, Father. Lord, so just help us now as we look into your word and go through scriptures, Lord. And Lord, allow the thought that you laid in my heart, Lord, to be given out the way that you gave it and to have its desired effect, Father. Lord, may you speak to every heart tonight, Lord. May you lift up the downtrodden, Lord. May you encourage those that are discouraged. Lord, break every chain of depression and worry and fear, Lord, and heal the sick, Lord. We ask, Lord, not out of tradition. We ask because we know your word is true, and we know that, Lord, it's what you do and it's who you are. Lord, so we just look to you now as we step aside and look into your word and ask you to take complete control, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight and you'd like to turn with me, we're going to look in the book of John, the 5th chapter, John 5 and verse 1. We're going to read from there, and then we're also going to read a portion over in Ecclesiastes. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Amen. I got a PowerPoint with all this ready to go, if we can get that. All right, we'll read here, John 5 and verse 1 says, "And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Then Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Amen. I just pray that the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may have your seats. Amen. We're going to speak to you tonight for a moment on victory through the seasons. Victory through the seasons. Amen. And as we read here, we see that, you know, the Bible shows us that there are seasons of time. And most of the time in everyday life, when we discuss seasons, it would be a reference maybe to what we call the four seasons: spring, summer, fall, and winter. You know, different time periods throughout the year where the earth experiences different weather patterns and maybe different daylight hours. And And just in the mentioning of the seasons, you yourselves can instantly visualize maybe a certain scene or something associated with each one of those seasons, because they are so distinct and so varied from one another. If I were to say winter right now, each one of you have your own idea of what that looks like, and spring and summer, but instantly you can visualize it because it's very distinct. And the same way, we all have different seasons of life that we go through. Sometimes maybe even distinguished by age, maybe, you know, an adolescent and then a teenager, a young adult, and then you go into maybe middle age, and eventually you get, you know, old age. And if I say that, you instantly have a visual. You kind of know what we're talking about. And this is something that is by the seasons was by an intentional design. And we see it here in Genesis 1 and 14. And it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And it tells us that not only were the sun and moon made for day and night, but also for the regulation of times and for the cycle of seasons. And God comes back around in Genesis 8:22 and once again establishes that there will be seasons upon the earth. He says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." So this is right after the flood, and he's just reconfirming there are going to be seasons. And in the Bible, we see the term seasons used in different ways. And yet it's our understanding of its purpose here in the beginning that allows us to understand the meaning of it when it's used metaphorically. In other words, it's a concept serving both as a literal reference to the rhythms of creation, like we just talked about, but it's also used metaphorically for the phases of life, for periods of hardship and periods of happiness. And we saw this in our opening scripture in Ecclesiastes. There's all kind of different periods that you're going to go through in life. It's saying there is a season and a time for everything. Amen. And it's saying there's seasons of joy and seasons of sorrow, and there's going to be times to weep and there's going to be times to laugh. And what it's doing is it's showing that even as the earth goes through seasons, so does our life. Amen. And this applies not only to physical, but it also applies to our spiritual life. And there are times of waiting, and there are times of wondering. There's times when it just seems like God's just pouring himself out to you like never before, and you're on the mountaintop. And then there's times where it feels like, is God even hearing me when I pray? And you're going through these different seasons, and there's periods of rapid growth, and then there's times where it can seem so dry. And just as the land needs periods of planting and growing and harvesting, so do individual experience physical or spiritual cycles or seasons. But what I want you to understand is tonight, whatever season you're in, whether it's a down season, an up season, whether it all seems to be against you, the season has not come for your destruction. Amen. Seasons do not dictate the victories that we experience. Seasons may change your circumstance and the conditions around you, and your climate may be that of the deepest, darkest winter. But deepest, darkest winter for a son or daughter of God does not bring death. It does not bring defeat. Your season has not come to defeat you, but every season for a child of God comes with a purpose. Amen. The season that you're in is not taking you down into defeat tonight. It's not meant for your destruction, and it's not meant for punishment. Get that out of your mind right now. The trials and tribulations that you go through isn't because God is punishing you. Everyone goes through trials and tribulations. If God has allowed it, then it has a purpose. And God's purpose is never that you would be defeated. Understand that right now. You're not going to be defeated. You're not going to be overcome. But you are going to be the overcomers. You are going to be victorious in whatever season you find yourself in tonight. Amen. His purpose is never that you would fail, But His purpose is that you would be victorious. His purpose is that you would overcome. So He's given you what you have need of already. It's already there, what you have need of in order to overcome and be victorious in the season that you find yourself in right now. Many times you don't even know it's there. You don't recognize it's there because you haven't had need of it yet. But in that moment, in that darkness, there's a little something and it just feels like it drops down on the inside of you. It was there all alone. It's part of that seed gene of God that He put there from the beginning. And regardless of season, regardless of trial, regardless of situation, it can't be stomped out and it can't be defeated and it can't be overcome. You are a part of Him and He doesn't lose battles. Amen. It's been there all along. He's given you what you have need of to come through this season and to fulfill its purpose in your life. I did a quick search on the purpose of winter for plants. Because to me and to my eye, it just looks like death and dying. Sometimes the trials you're going through just looks like death and dying. The hardship just looks like darkness for no purpose. Why this? Why am I going through that? Why is my friend turned against me? Why am I abandoned? Why is my job not working out? Why is things not going in my home? Whatever it may be, whatever the season, it's hard for us to look at it and go, well, this is working for my good. No, we know it is, but it's hard for us to see that. And so I looked at it just from the standpoint of botany life and plants, and it says, many plants, trees, and shrubs enter a dormant phase during winter, slowing down their metabolism and conserving energy. This allows them to store nutrients in their roots and prepare for vigorous growth in the spring. Amen. It says winter, therefore, is not merely a period of inactivity, but a crucial phase in the ecological cycle, promoting rest, renewal, pest control, water resource management, all essential for the long-term health and survival of plant and animal life. Brother Aaron, I'm in a winter. That's okay. Just prepare for some vigorous growth. Prepare for spring. Prepare for what's coming. You may be beat down. It may be cold. You may be tired. You're going, what's this for? But there's something coming on the other side of it. There's a season. Listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And in that night, you're not going to quit. That's what I want to get to you tonight. In your season of darkness, you're not going to fail. You're not going to give in. You're not going to backslide. You're going to keep going, and you are going to be victorious in your dark seasons. Amen, amen. Amen, it's time that we stop griping about the season that we're in and complaining and prepare for the growth that the season is preparing us for. What is going on? I'm being molded. I'm being prepared. This season is only preparation for what is to come. I have a great harvest that I know is coming up ahead. Amen. All people go through seasons. But as Christians, we go through them differently. We go through them with purpose. We go through them in victory with an unseen resource of strength. It tells us in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now I want to focus in here just for a minute on planted by rivers of waters. Notice just for a second, we're going to take our attention away from the season and look at this. Yes, the fruit is going to come in a certain season, but why? Why is it going to come? Because it is possible for somebody to go season after season after season after season after season and not have fruit. It's very possible for harvest time to come and go and harvest time come and go and harvest time come and go and you never have a harvest. And you say, why? Why don't I have a harvest? Why ain't God moving in my life? Why ain't God restoring? Why hasn't He come to my need? Because there's a part that says you got to be planted by the rivers of water. You're abiding in God. You're rooted in the Word. What does it show? It shows a stability regardless of season. Winter comes, the roots are still in the water. Fall comes, the roots are still in the water. Spring comes, the roots are still in the water. Summer comes and there's a horrible drought, but not for the tree planted by the water. Everything else may be drying up and dying and thirsty, but there's people with their roots deep down into the living water of the Word. And tonight we're not in the middle of a drought. There's a spiritual drought all over the world, but tonight we're drinking in. Amen. They're stable. It shows a stability regardless of your trials. Not shook up every time something goes wrong. Not brooding through a service because you had a bad week. Not missing church every other service and then calling, you know, all your struggles just a season of life. Well, it's a season I'm going through. Wondering why God hasn't showed up in your struggle. Because if we aren't stable and we aren't planted in the rivers of life, we let hard times and dry times and challenges become spiritually cold times. We allow the trials of life and the seasons we're in to affect us spiritually because we're not stable and we shrivel and we don't worship in church. And we don't feed in church or we don't show up at all. Because what's going on out here, all around us, begins to affect our entire life. And what that shows is what's really going on in here. Because when this is stable and when this is anchored and when this is planted by the rivers of water, all this will not shake you. All this will not cause you to pull back. All this won't cause you to go into a place. Look what it says. It's highlighted there in purple. His leaf also shall not wither. That means it doesn't matter what's going on. He claps his hands in church. It doesn't matter what's going on. He can give his praise. His leaf is still there. It doesn't matter if there's a drought. It doesn't matter if there's hardship. The leaf does not wither. The scripture says, even when that man is waiting on the harvest, he's waiting on the harvest. Lord, how long? How long am I going to be in this trial? The leaf doesn't wither. The praise doesn't stop. The life overcoming doesn't cease. His victory is not dictated by the season. A tree planted by water doesn't wither when it's dry out here. It doesn't wither when the surroundings all turn against it and the circumstances, because deep down in here, there's a source of life. Deep down in here, there's a stability. Deep down in here, there's an anchor that's holding, planted by the rivers of life. It's a constant source. It's not up and down and issue after issue after issue all the time. It's constant. It's steady. It's a hard season. Press in and drink. Yeah, I'm going through a sick season. Press in and drink. It's the most wonderful season I've ever had. Press in and drink. Let's look at that for a minute, because we often talk about in the hardships, press in. But what's even more easy to fall into a rut of is when everything's going perfect. When everything's going good. When everybody's healthy. It's easy to get desperate when your child's sick. It's easy to get desperate when they're not in church, or when you lost your job, or you don't know how to pay your bills. But that same sense of desperation should be there day after day after day, because it's a recognition that I need you today more than ever. Amen. And if I'm blessed, it's because it came from you. A desperation to return thanksgiving, to recognize where it comes from, regardless of the season. Regardless of the season, the bride never becomes cold. As a matter of fact, the prophet says she won't even be lukewarm, even though it's the atmospheric condition of the age. The age all around us is lukewarmness. Why doesn't it affect us? Why doesn't it make us lukewarm? Why don't our leaf wither? Because we're planted by the rivers of water, and it's a constant source. The bride is never going to be lukewarm. She's rooted in the Word, filled with the Spirit, anointed by His presence. And those seasons may change, and trends change and cultures change and churches change. She's planted. She's established. She's rooted. And she's stable. Why? Because we've anchored in Jesus. We're not anchored in any of the things around us, and the seasons changing. We've already read and we've seen and established your seasons are going to change. You're going to go through different times. You're going to go through hardships. But you've got to be anchored in the solid rock. Seasons should never dictate your worship, because your season and your situation does not change what He's worthy of. He's worthy of my praise if I'm unemployed. He's worthy of my praise if I'm a millionaire. He's worthy of my praise when I'm healthy. He's worthy of my praise when I'm sick. He's worthy when everything's going perfect. And he's worthy when everything's falling apart. My season does not dictate my victory. My season does not dictate my praise. Hallelujah. It's dictated by an eternal source. Hallelujah. Seasons. He's present in every season. Even the season I'm in tonight, brother, even in that season, He's present right now in your situation. He's present right now in the things that you're facing and you don't understand. He's present and He's working all things for our good. It's God that has established the season. So as we go on a little further, I want to make it clear that I'm not doing away with seasons, as it were. We can't do that. We know that life isn't one big mountaintop. Life isn't one big valley. When I say we should always have victory, what do I mean? You should have victory on the mountain and victory in the valley. Victory no matter what the season is, because the season is going to change and you are going to have seasons. There is an appointed time for things to happen. God has seasons for His words, seasons that certain things are going to be fulfilled, and seasons for different revelations to come forth. And all things happen in their appointed season. Often in the scripture it would say in due season. Due season refers to God's appointed or right time for something to happen. It emphasizes to us that there's a divine timing for events. And while there's times that we have to be patient waiting on this, God's plan is always going to unfold in perfect order at the perfect moment in due season. He has a specific schedule for His plans and purposes. And things are happening when they're meant to happen according to His will. An example of this here in Galatians 6 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing." In other words, sometimes you're going to have to be patient. Sometimes you're going to have to wait for that fulfillment. But one thing I want to make clear here, and we may come back to this again later, is even though I may have to wait for the fulfillment, it's right now faith. It's right now faith. I'm healed now. I believe now is my moment. I believe now is my time. Well, I don't see it. That's okay. Fulfillment may be later, but it's right now faith. I'm believing for it right now. I'm not putting it off to another day. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. Now, you can't wait and just start believing in due season. Abraham didn't start believing after 25 years. Abraham believed for 25 years. And in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we have an understanding that seasons is a part of life naturally and a part of life spiritually. But in those seasons, God expects victory. In those seasons, He expects an overcoming life. In those seasons, he expects for His attributes to live out of your life. No matter what the season may be, and we all go through them, and some of you may be in the hardest season of your life right now. Even tonight, and we want to be, how do I say this? We want to be understanding, and we want to be sensitive to the fact that seasons can be traumatic for people. Seasons can be very traumatic, and they can involve family struggles. Seasons can involve great losses. They can involve horrible mind battles. Maybe depression. Maybe things that I can't even put into words and I'll never understand. And so sometimes I don't want to come across like we're just saying, oh, come on, get over yourself and be happy and be victorious. That's not what we're saying at all. We understand the reality of seasons, the reality of trials, the reality of how hard it can be. These are hard times. These are tribulations. This is heartache. This is turmoil. They are real and they are hard. And I think many times, not just from the pulpit, but even as friends and as fellow Christians, if we aren't careful, we can come across in a way that is condescending to other people's struggles. And other people's battles and even the season they find themselves in. Why does that bother them? What's the big deal about that? That shouldn't be affecting them. But it is. It's real. And if I'm really honest, if I sat up here and told you the things that I battle with and struggle with, you might go, what? Why does that bother him? But it's real to me. It's my battle. It's your battle. It's your war. And when somebody's in a war, it's a real war, and it's life and it's death. And we don't sit back and go, why this? Well, what we do is we get down on our knees for one another and say, Lord, may they win the battle. May they overcome this. May you give them the victory in the battle that they're facing, because for them it is life and death. Seasons are real. We can't just pawn it off on, well, that's just their family. That's just what they do. No, it's a life or death spiritual struggle. And we have to be understanding. But then here comes the balance. Not so understanding that you pet it. It'll be okay. This is just in your family. It'll be okay. You've been going through this for... No. I'm trying to contrast here. I'm not trying to be condescending. The contrast is, yes, we have to understand it's a reality. But we also have to be real and say this, because what happens is people get into a season and they recognize it's a season, and the season becomes their excuse, and they never change seasons. And they live in this season, and they live in this season, and they live in this season. And I'm saying, I know it's real. I know it's a battle. But you can break the season. You can overcome. You can come out of the season. There's a spring waiting for you. There's a victory waiting for you. But you got to be willing to fight for it. Not, this is just who I am. This is my family. This is a season. Yes, it's a season. Now let's let the season change. There's a power here tonight that can change the season in a moment for you. Hallelujah. You can have victory in your season. You're still an overcomer even in the night seasons. You can still rejoice while you go through it. You can still give praise in the darkness. Your life can still shine with the joy of salvation, knowing that, yes, it may be dark. Yes, it's a time of weeping, but there's a time of joy coming. There's a time of victory and a time of laughter coming. David would use the term night seasons. And sometimes it appears, as you look through it and read it, that he's, you know, just referencing nighttime. But also it represents times of hardships and suffering. Night seasons. Illness. Finances. Relationships. Despair. Spiritual warfare. Night seasons. But he says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. How does he stand in the night seasons? Why is it that he's not going to be moved? Who is it that's at his right hand? Where has he planted himself? What's he relying on? Oh, if I just try a little harder, I'll come through this. That's not what I'm telling you. Oh, if I just get up enough courage, I think I can overcome this. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that he's here. In your season, in your night season, in your despair, in your heartache, he is here. And if you've planted yourself next to that river and you've got him on your right hand, he is going to see you through, and you can say tonight, I shall not be moved. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, We give him praise from morning until night and all through the night seasons. Our heart sings the songs and the praises of Jehovah. Thanks be to him forever and ever. How am I going to get through this? How do I respond in the night season? Brother Branham says, we'll give him praise. But it's the darkest season of my life. How much? From morning until night. All through the night season, our heart is going to gripe and moan. No. Our heart sing the songs and the praises of Jehovah. Thanks be to him forever and ever. Listen, I know we love to praise him when we find deliverance. I know we love to praise him when the seasons change. I know we want to praise him when the healing happens and the child comes back. But so many times your victory's on the other side of your praise, and you got to praise your way through it and fight your way through it. There's victory in your praise. There's victory in your sacrifice. Hallelujah. Worship through, fight through, prepare for the victory you know is coming. Hallelujah. When all looks lost, sing praises to Jehovah. When things get worse, when all is against you, when you don't know how he's ever going to restore, you can still press into the service. You can still prepare the ground. Oh, but it's not my harvest season. Well, are you getting the ground ready? Are you just going to have another harvest season without a harvest? You can praise him in this storm. You can pray and devote time to God and surrender your will so that as the seasons do change, you're prepared to receive the purpose of the season. You're prepared to receive the new birth. You're prepared to receive that healing. You're prepared to receive a restoration. You're prepared for a mighty harvest. If the farmer just sits around all year and goes, "It's not harvest season, so I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not going to do nothing till harvest time." You're not going to have a harvest. You got to do something in preparation. We can't just lay down and quit and do nothing because of hard times and hard seasons and say, "Where is my harvest? Brother Aaron, I just don't see a harvest in my life." Well, have you been plowing? Have you been planting? Have you been digging? Have you been weeding and fertilizing and watering during the other seasons? See, we have to see the value and the victory in the small things. We have to see the value in the victory that takes place that isn't the big giant harvest that we're wanting, but it's the things along the way. We have to see the value in it. There's victory in your digging. There's victory in your plowing. There's victory in the weeding. What are you saying, Brother Aaron? There's victory in your prayer life. There's victory in your praise. There's victory in your singing when you don't feel like it. There's victory in showing up on a Wednesday night when everything went wrong today and you were tired and you wanted to stay home. Those are the small things. Those are the things we do if we want to see a harvest. I could stay home, but I'm going. I could sit here with my arms crossed, but I'm raising them. I could sit here and relax, but I'm singing. I'm sacrificing. I'm plowing. I'm planting. I'm digging. What is it for? Because I'm going to have a harvest. Hallelujah. There's victory in this season. There's a harvest in this season, actually. There are fruits that you can bear regardless of the season, because you're planted by rivers of life, because you're filled with the Spirit, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So tonight, you can have love, you can have joy, you can have peace, you can have all the fruits of the Spirit all the time because your roots are planted in the water. It doesn't matter the season, the fruits of the Spirit should be harvested and evident in your life. Brother Branham says, just like the life that's in the tree, you don't have to pour the apples in the tree to make it bear apples. It's just planted in the ground and it drinks and pushes out. Well, that's the way you do the Holy Spirit. It's on the inside of you. You just drink from the inexhaustible fountain of Jesus Christ and it pushes out the fruits of the Spirit, see? Just keep drinking. Just keep digging. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do and watch the harvest take place. Keep overcoming in all seasons. Being fruitful regardless of the circumstances you're facing. Listen, he didn't come in this day and reveal the mysteries and call a bride out of denominations and show his power night after night. Still showing his power. Day after day and service after service and go to the extreme measures over and over and over again for us not to produce the fruits of an overcoming life. For us not to have victory when things are going hard. He didn't do those things just so we could be another church and then say, well, it's the season we're in. We're just going through a tough season. Well, that's just the season that we're in. Those things ain't really happening right now. He did those things so that we could perform the works of Christ, so that we would live an overcoming life with overcoming power. Because with the revelation of the seals and the revealing of the word came the unloosing of power. For who? For you. That you can overcome, not in the good times, that you can overcome in the hard times, in the seasons that are difficult. And we have been given every advantage. Listen, sometimes we get it twisted and woe is me, little persecuted, hunted group, and everything's against us. Get rid of that thinking. Everything is for you. Everything has been set up for you to succeed. Everything, every advantage has been given to you as the bride of Jesus Christ to make sure you're fruitful, to make sure you're an overcomer. You've been given every insight, every advantage. We've been privileged to know him like no other people and have him manifested to us like never before. And because of that, he expects something from us. Luke 13, 6 and 9, and go through a few parables here. It says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, I see, but behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now, if you get into that part right there, why cumbereth it the ground? What he's getting at is I only have so much room in my vineyard. I'm not going to waste my space on something that doesn't produce fruit. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. And the chapter ends. Leaves you hanging. What happened? That's for us to find out. When, Brother Aaron? In our life. Because that's what we're dealing with here. If you look at this chapter as a whole, the theme of this entire chapter, Luke 13, is repent or perish. That's what the chapter is about. Bring forth fruit or be cut down. And I know primarily this parable, it refers to the people and the nation of Israel, of the Jews. And he had called them his own. He had chose them. He had gave them advantage of knowing him and serving him. And yet he comes and he finds them as a people fruitless. But spiritually, we can look at the church through this parable and even look at ourselves as individuals. Look at the beginning of the verse there. A fig tree planted where? It says a fig tree planted in his vineyard. What does this mean? This fig tree had incredible advantages. It wasn't just one out there along the way, along the road, cast in somebody's yard. Found here in a pasture. It was in a special vineyard. It was in the message. It had every advantage. It had better soil. It had greater revelation. There were great pains that had been taken with it more than other fig trees that grew by the wayside. It had somebody there taking care of it. Feeding it, watering it. Making sure it was leaning the right way. It had every advantage. We are this fig tree planted in his vineyard. It's our privilege. It's his favor. It's our advantage So many others will never get the opportunity to grow here. I don't mean Evening Light Tabernacle, although that's true too, but I mean in this message. I mean in the revelation that we have today. And therefore, he has expectations because all that he has done to give you this opportunity. He's given you a privilege. He hasn't done all this so you can be called a message believer. He hasn't done all this so we can look different at Walmart. He's looking for a crop. A harvest of what, Brother Aaron? Of the same fruits that he produced when he was here on the earth. A harvest, a crop of the same fruits that was produced there in the book of Acts. He's looking for a harvest, a vine that will write another book of Acts. And he expects fruit from those who take up place in his vineyard. You get the protection of his gate. You get the work of the dresser that comes and pours his love into you time after time. You get all the blessings that comes with being in the vineyard. He sees you enjoying the gospel and all that comes with it. And maybe he sees leaves. And maybe he sees some first buds of good intentions. Of when you started with zeal. And there's something there, but he doesn't find any fruit. After all he's done, there's no fruit. After all he's done, just another church member. After all he's done, just another church on 371. Take your pick. What's different? As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this and it hit me that sometimes if you take in all the advantages that we've been given as believers and then compare it to some of our good Baptist friends or people like that that don't know what you know, that don't have what you have, that haven't been given the opportunity you've been given, when you do that, their life outshines our lives. How is that tree as healthy as this tree? With every advantage you've been given. And it hurts him. And it disappoints him. And he says, I come time after time. I come service after service. I come day after day and still no fruit. Still no fruit. He says, 3 years I've come. And nothing. And at first it's cut it down. Cut it down. I know there's times that if that had stood, I would have been cut down. I know there's times that if that had stood in your life, you would have been cut down. But then what do we see? We see the intercession begin to come in. We saw it in Abraham. We saw it in Moses. And then we saw it in Jesus, the greatest of all intercessors. And he says, no. Let's give him another chance. Let's give him one more chance. I'm going to pour some more love into him. I'm going to take care of him some more. I'm going to water him some more. I'm going to come from this way. I'm going to tell him again on Wednesday night, I love you. You can make it. You can overcome. I just want to see some sincerity. I want to see some dedication. I want to give him another opportunity to produce fruits. And he comes in and says, I'm not going to cut them down. But it ends with, if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that. Oh, he's full of grace, Brother Joe. He's full of mercy. He gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But there's coming to a point, then after that. Then after that. Look, don't spurn away your day of mercy. Don't spurn away your day of grace. What are you saying, Brother Aaron? Are you saying I got to have more works? I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about getting so full of the Holy Spirit that that life lives out of your life and it overflows with love. It overflows with sincerity. It overflows with the works that I do, shall you do also. It overflows with courage and passion for the Word. And fruits begin to get pushed out of your life because the Holy Spirit's there and you're feeding on it. You're feeding it. And it produces what he's looking for. Hallelujah. He wants to drop down in our hearts and become more of a head, more than a head knowledge. He wants to become more than a religion. But he wants it to be a love affair that never dies down, regardless of the season. He wants to get to a place, he says, where they find themselves in so much in love with me. That in the winter, there's zeal. In the spring, there's zeal. In the summer, no matter what, there's zeal and there's passion. And because of that, they have fruits. Brother Branham says, may it come away from just an intellectual or from a looking at it on a picture or even seeing it with their natural eye. May it come into their heart, Lord, and there may it abide and they live in that presence of God which yields every day a fruitful and blessed life for the Lord Jesus. Listen, He isn't interested in our religion and our coverings. He isn't interested in our message dogmas. He wants to see His life manifested in us. That's what He wants. His life manifested in us. Look, He fulfilled everything there was to be fulfilled in the Old Testament. He left nothing. He fulfilled many parts of the New Testament. But He did leave parts of the New Testament that He wanted His bride to fulfill. And He knew she could do it because she was bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. But we're not going to fulfill it going up and down, and in and out, and lukewarm, and struggling with this, and battling this. No, but He's looking for a zeal and a passion and something burning on the inside of you. And that life begins to live out and it fulfills all that was left for us to fulfill. We can't fulfill it when the revival fire is nothing but ashes and a fond memory. His desire is that you walk in victory. Walk in victory. Overcoming hell on this earth. Producing the same fruits of victory that He produced. Same passion, same zeal, same results. It says here in Mark, it says that on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. We're going to read from two places about this same story. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Same story is relayed in the book of Matthew. Now in the morning as He returned into the city, He hungered. When He saw a fig tree in the way, He came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. We're going to look here in Mark. Both Gospels make sure to say, I want you to bear with me for a minute on this. They make sure to say that the tree had leaves. Mark says in verse 13 that the time for figs was not yet. And we know this to be true based off the time. They believe this was happening sometimes in March, possibly early April, but most probably in March. And I'll say this, though. This goes with what we're talking about because Jesus doesn't allow the time of the year or your current season to be an excuse. Because He expects fruit whenever He shows up. Wherever He shows up, whenever He comes, He's not going to show up in your life and go, my bad, I'm 6 months early. I'll come back during fruit bearing season. But He expects to find fruit. But I began to research fig trees and the harvest and what is the time for figs. And I found out that fig trees actually produce two crops of figs. And it says, it is known that fig trees produce an early crop of small edible figs called takish. Now, very specifically, I was researching the kind of figs there in Israel. It says, around the time the leaves appear in spring before the main harvest season. So this happens before the time of figs. When the leaves come, small figs come with it. And it says, these are tiny, immature figs that accompany the emergence of the leaves in early spring. This takish served as an early treat, particularly for hungry travelers and peasants. The presence of these takish indicated that the fig tree was healthy and would produce fruit later in the season. And because they're not there, He curses it. He knows there's not going to be a harvest later. He knows this tree is barren. There's no life in this tree. But what was it? I want to go back. I'm going to go back to what it said in Mark. Seeing a fig tree afar off What's the first thing he noticed? He sees a covering. He sees a religious person. He sees something that looks like it should be fruit bearing. And he sees this from afar off, and it presented itself. And it came across as having an appearance of fruitfulness. It had leaves. It had the doctrine. It had long hair. It didn't curse and act like the world. But where was the life? Where was the power? Where was all the things that he had promised to restore? I came down through the ages. I saw this message church and it had leaves and I was excited. I'm going to go there and get a fresh drink. I'm going to go there and get the things that I know she can give me. Only she can give me bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he pulls back the coverings of religion. He moves past the doctrine. He moves past the dogma. Where is it? Where is it? It presented itself as if it was fruitful. It talked about the fruit. It talked about everything. But where is the things that I've given it? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they evident? It's living a name, but it's dead. Looked like a fig tree. Had the attributes of a fig tree. But hiding behind the facade of religion, there was no fruit. Brown says, see, religion is just a covering. It's hard to tell what we make our covering out of. Adam tried to make some out of fig leaves, and it didn't work. It got awful shaky when he had to come out to meet God. Religion doesn't meet it at all. Religion doesn't meet it at all. Religion doesn't meet it at all. Tonight I say, let's quit hiding behind the leaves like they did in Eden. Quit running and hiding and making excuses for why the power is lacking. Why people don't have overcoming lives. Why people aren't going all the way to the Holy Ghost. Why are we living Wednesday and Sunday Christian lives that are often outshined by those in nominal churches? Why are so many churches sitting and the supernatural is missing? I just say tonight, Lord, I don't want to impersonate. I don't want to just have leaves. I don't want no fruit to be there. I don't want just a church member relationship. But I want to be filled with His life. And then that life will produce the fruit that He is looking for. I want to bathe in His presence. I want to feed on the Word of God. I want to live in His presence daily and continually. So when He comes looking, it may not be the biggest fruits. It may not be the most fruits. But He can look in there and go, yep, that's my seed. That's my son. I recognize that fruit because it came from me. It's a seed gene of God. Hallelujah. Whatever the season, I just want that life. He says that's the same way that an unbeliever or a sinner is ever laid in the presence of Almighty God under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He becomes a new creature right then. His life becomes fruitful, fresh. Life comes in and he yields what he was supposed to be, a son of God. He was took off the tree. So was that olive branch. He was took off of the tree, but sinners and lukewarm church members become dry sticks with some kind of a memory that sometime there was a supernatural God of the past that had life way back there. Whatever it takes. Lord, whatever season I'm in, I want more of you. I want victory. And I know that comes by being planted by the rivers of life. I want overcoming power. I want a fruitful life. I don't want to dry up and become a stick. I don't want to be somebody talking about that time God fell on me. That time I was an overcomer. It's okay. Listen, it's okay to point back as long as what you're pointing back to is never greater than what you are. Don't point back to I was this and I was that. What are you today? What is your standing today? Are you overcoming in the season of life you find yourself in today? I must have life. And if I'm lacking, I don't want to wait till he comes looking to get it figured out. I don't want him to come face to face with me and me stand there in some fig leaf covering. But Lord, tell me through your word, move in my heart now, convict my heart now, that we can settle the issue now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't just always blame things on the seasons that we're in. You can have victory through the seasons. Too many times seasons are used in as an excuse. And once again, I want to say this to make it very clear. That I understand God is a God of order and perfect timing and in all his ways. But we can't use that to put things off. Or we'll always be looking to another day. Another service, a different night, another moment. And not recognize that now is the time. Now is the season for your victory. Now is the season for your deliverance. Now is the season for your healing. It doesn't matter, as I said earlier, how long it takes for that to manifest. Faith would declare he's my healer now. He's my savior now. I can have peace now. I can be an overcomer now. Brother Bram says, and why are you here this morning? That's sick. Now you can put anything there. That's heartbroken. That's hurting. That's longing for more of God. That needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why are you here? God chose you. Today is your day for healing. I have chose you. I have made my supper ready. I have called you in. Now each one of you is a guest and you've come in and I've got everything prepared. All the dainties setting on the table and every one of them, you can have it now. In this season tonight, in your winter time, you can have it now. In your struggle, you can have it now. The joy you've been lacking, you can have it now. The victory you've been lacking, you can have it now. The devil can't hold it from you no more when the Lord said, you can have it now. Amen. Quit what the devil said. Well, my feelings say, I ain't worried about the devil or your feelings. I'm telling you, the word declares, this is your season of deliverance. This is your season of healing. This is the time. This is the hour for you to be victorious. Hallelujah. Look, I'm not looking for some big thing that's coming. It's happening now. I'm in it now. It's the season of miracles. When, Brother Aaron? Right now. The power is here now. The sweep is happening now. Look, I want us to be careful as a church and as individuals that we don't use seasons as an excuse. You hear things like, it's not the season for miracles. It's not the season for divine healing. That's just a different way of saying, God, don't do that no more. They won't look at you and say that, but they'll say, it's not the season. Well, I'll say this. Maybe the season is over for a big divine healing movement with massive tent revivals and healing campaigns. But to you, the individual, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care if it's 1940, 1950, 1960, 2025. He's a healer tonight. He is the healer tonight, and it's your season for healing. It's your season for deliverance. It's your season for the miraculous. It is the season of the supernatural. How can it not be? If you don't believe it's the season of the supernatural, you don't believe it's the season of the rapture. It is the season for these things. Maybe revival is over as it relates to the nation and to the denominations, but to the bride. That's what this message is. It's revival. That's what we're in. It's revival. And we will be in revival until the day we leave here. That's what this is. Bride time. Bride's revival. Life in the body. Bone of his bone. Well, Brother Aaron, the season. Let me tell you what season it is. It's the season of John 14:12. It's the season of the works that I do shall you do also. It's the season for the supernatural to be manifest. It's the season for you to take the word upon your lips and begin to speak it. So no matter what season of life you find yourself in, it's the season of victory. It's the season of power. The seals are ripped over and the power's been released. Put it on your lips and begin to walk in your season of victory. I say, let the seasons change. Let mortal put on immortality. We're right there in the season of the rapture, of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. So whatever season you're operating in, recognize there's a much bigger season and you're right in the middle of it. And let the season
of the Almighty God overwhelmed the season of sadness, overwhelmed the season of defeat, overwhelmed the season of depression. Let His season become your season. Hallelujah. Glory. It's the season of unlimited power. The fullness of the word has been revealed, and with that, the fullness of power is made available to the bride. Ain't no season gonna stop that. Hallelujah. Ain't no devil gonna stop that. No depression can stop that. No evil spirit. Why? We have come to win. And the best part about it is, so did our chief captain. He ain't into losing much. He's into winning battle after battle, war after war. He's won every battle He's ever done. And guess what? He gave you His spirit. He gave you His power. And He says, this is the season that you put every devil under your feet. This is the season that you rise above Laodicea. Oh, it's the season of Laodicea. It's the season of lukewarmness. But on the inside of that, there's a bride of Jesus Christ. She's in the season of revival. She's in the season of power. She's got zeal. And she's in love with her Lord Jesus. Amen. Seasons. Just as we bring this down, read this story to you. You know it quite well. John 5:2 was our opening scripture. Now there's at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, and waiting for the moving of the water. Now notice something. For an angel went down at a certain season. So there was a season of divine healing. And it troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Put a time frame on this. Waters were troubled with the divine healing movement in the 1950s. But guess what? I wasn't there. I couldn't get in that water. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. He couldn't get in that water either. It says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, it's 2025. It's not the season. Can't you look at the water and see it's not troubled? How am I going to be healed? It's not the season for divine healing. When the water is troubled, I wasn't here on the earth. By the time I came along, Lord, the divine healing movement was over. The prophet had gone off the scene. Somebody else stepped in before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise up thy bed and walk. What are you getting at, Brother Aaron? There was a season for divine healing, and this wasn't it. The water wasn't troubled, but this wasn't about a certain season. The Word came walking. The Word itself came walking in the building. And when the Word comes walking, He ain't worried about what season He is. He's there for the season of life, the season of deliverance, a season for healing. And He comes service after service after service. And He walks down this aisle and that aisle. And He walks down your heart. And He says, it's the season because I'm here. I am here. It's the season of God made flesh once again. And He's walking down your aisle tonight. He's walking to your heart tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou have victory in this season? Yes, Lord. Then rise up, take your bed, and walk in the victory that He has provided you. Because it's the season of the miraculous. It's the season of the supernatural. It's the season of Jesus Christ on earth again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's come to give you victory in your season. Hallelujah. It's the season of His appearing when all things are possible. It's the season that He's here in the flesh. Hallelujah. I love it so much. I come across this scripture and I'm done. But I was reading this in Acts. And it may not even be what it means. I'm not trying to give an interpretation. But they ask about the seasons. And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you're going to receive power. Let me put this in my English. Don't worry about the season. It's going to change. There's going to be season after season after season. Don't worry about that. What you need to know is that from this time on, no matter what the season is, you're going to have power. You're going to be endued. You're going to be endued to overcome the season that you're in. Forget the season. You've been endued. You've been endued to be an overcomer. You've been endued to be victorious. It's your season. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this evening. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Sister Tori, if you could help us out up there. Oh, it's your season to be blessed. God gave you the promise. He'll stand the test. He's going to open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. Oh, it's your season
to be blessed.
We'll sing it again.
Your season to be blessed. God made you a promise. You stood the test.
He's gonna open the windows
of heaven and
pour you out a blessing.
Oh, it's your season.
Oh, to be blessed. I'm blessed in the city.